Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the opportunity to solidify liberty. Lord, we are grateful that we get a chance to serve you in our city. And Lord, we want to grow. We want to have your heartbeat for people. Baptize us afresh in these days, Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we know who our God is, and we will do great exploits as a result. Bless your word to us this morning, Lord. Feed us, strengthen us, inspire us, O God. Free us up, Lord, with your word today. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm just to say before I move on that this evening in Finglas we have Terry Munnelly speaking. If anyone has heard Terry before, you will be thrilled to hear Terry. Terry is a man that I led to the Lord probably 20 years ago, and he's an ex-Foreign Legionnaire. He belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciples. Would you believe it? Like someone that you meet every day. And like a legionnaire, I mean, this Terry could kill someone with his little finger. He's a trained, absolute head case. And Terry became, we led him to the Lord in 189 Dolphin House. Short while later, we sent him out as a missionary to Africa. And he's been back a number of years, and he's now walking up in Clogger Road School, my old tech, would you believe it? And he's a legend and a hero. You couldn't believe the amount of kids that his life has touched. And Terry will be speaking there for English location tonight. And up in okay, Pastor Jimmy Dunn will be speaking. Jimmy pastors, Liberty in Bluebell, but it's not Liberty, it's Calvary in Bluebell. And Jimmy is a great friend of mine and a passionate preacher of the Word of God, and you will enjoy him. So guys, let's get out to our other locations, especially the ones in the evening ones. They're their newest locations. They need strength and encouragement. When we come along, or you come along from RD Street, it encourages the people that are working there on a Sunday evening. And this is two great nights to get along to one of them. And Terry out in Finglas and Jimmy out in Glendorkin. And Annette has been preaching this morning out in Bray. Wasn't she amazing last week? Who heard Annette last week? Boom, man, she rocked the boat. And I'm hoping she's doing the same right now, probably out there. So here, I'm going to continue with the Encounter series. We've been looking at people that encounter Jesus and what impact that Jesus had on their life, and not only what impact I had on their life, but what was the result of meeting Jesus. And I don't know about you, but if you meet me and never meet me again, you haven't missed out a whole lot, believe me. But if you meet Jesus and you walk away thinking, that's a load of baloney, whatever, you've missed everything. You've just missed the creator of the universe. You just missed him who walks on water, splits seas, feeds 5,000 people over a couple of loaves and fishes, can cause the snow to fall at any given time. You've just missed the greatest person history would ever know. He created history, was before history, and will be after history. The most amazing, amazing person that you could meet is Jesus. But I don't know, with Jesus, when people met Jesus, fell at his feet. All types of result of encountering Jesus. And so it's imperative that we are not, see, Jesus in the tomb. Jesus is not like any other religious leader that has ever walked this earth. They're all in their tombs, or their bones are in the grave. But Jesus rose from the dead. So if he rose from the dead, it means that he's alive forevermore. So it wasn't these people in the Bible met him, and we learn and go, that's what we need to learn from someone meeting Jesus. No, people are still meeting Jesus day in and day out all over this world. There's countless stories of Muslims right now all over the world encountering Jesus in their dreams. He's like just walking into their dreams, and he's telling them who he is and telling them where to go, and they end up in church and they end up becoming converted to Christianity. Or not converted, they end up falling in love with Jesus. Because that's what happens when you meet him. You can be converted to religion. You can be turned on to some philosophy or theology. But when you meet Jesus, there's only one thing that happens, you fall in love with him. So if you haven't fallen in love, you ask him, Lord, how have I probably not met you the way I should? You know when you fall in love, where's my Sharon? I was 14 when I met Sharon, so 34 years ago. I met her when she was 7, but started going out together when we were 14. And you're going to start preaching now? This is kind of a bit ridiculous now, Cian. Like, he writes me sermons, now you want to be up in front of everybody.
Listen, man.
Where in the world was he? Oh, Sharon. It always ends with Sharon. She's the beginning and the end. Anyway, I was playing football, I was going to movies, I was with all my mates, all. I fall in love with Sharon. Blanked everybody. Everything. Am I on my own, guys and girls? If I am on my own, put up your hand. No, see, it's like, you don't want that else. You give up football, you give up everything just to be with that person that you fell in love with. And that's exactly what happened when I met Jesus. It was like things that hung around with me. I didn't want to do anymore. I didn't want to go anymore. I didn't stop doing A, B, and C because I became religious. I stopped doing A, B, and C because I fell in love. It was like, no, if I don't hurt to Jesus, you're gone. It was like, if I was sinning, if I was doing something wrong, if I knew I hurt Jesus, I was like, you're gone. You're out of my world. Because why would you intentionally hurt someone you love? You wouldn't. And so there was an impact on my life. I said to Sharon, never read a Bible, never been in church. 22nd of March, 1989, 9:40 in the National Stadium on a Tuesday evening. I say a prayer, I meet Jesus, I knew I'm forgiven. And I walk out and I said to Sharon, we need to tell everybody about this God. And she says, tell them what? I didn't know Bible, I didn't know anything. I says, we just need to tell them. It was like I found where the treasure was. And I knew all my friends were going around with a pocket full of pebbles and I had a pocket full of treasure. And I knew where there was more. I says, we have to tell other people about it. And I want to tell you, if you haven't met Jesus in this way, ask him. Lord, I want to fall in love with you. I want to fall in love with him over and over again. Sometimes you fall out of love. Sometimes you do things that makes you think, I'm not in love anymore. Lord, I want to fall in love afresh. And here's the story of two men that Jesus met and the different impact I had on them. And I know which camp I want to be in when we come to this. So listen to this. It should come up on the screen, Mark 10, 17 to 22. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What a great question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, the life that never ends. As someone says, eternal life is like a sparrow starting to scrape the top of Mount Everest and again to get to his end. Eternity is only at the beginning. It's forever. And we need to understand the forever of God. We need to understand the eternity of God because everything in this world tells us to look after ourselves for the many years we're on this earth. But when you have an eternal perspective of things, you realize, no, this is not all it is. That's why Paul could speak to the Christians and say, rejoice when you're facing persecution. Why? Because he says, because this is not all that it is. Because here's the reality, whether we forgot it or not. You and I have a happy ending. This is not some fairy tale that becomes an end or becomes a nightmare. Sometimes living through this life can be a nightmare in seasons. But you have a happy ending. Here's the reality, according to the scriptures, that their prince, Jesus, does come out of the sky on a horse and takes us to be with him. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, that's the reality. And you know what it is? We do live happily ever after. That's the reality. And that ain't no fairy tale, honey. That's the reality of who you're serving. And this man says, teacher, tell me, how do I inherit eternal life? Why was he looking for eternal life? He says, why do you call me good? Jesus says, no one is good except God alone. And he says to him, by the way, you know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not dishonor your mother and your father, you shall not defraud. Teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Note those words. One thing you lack, he said, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will then have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. And the man's face fell, and he went away sad, because he had great wealth. What a story, what an encounter, that this man ran up, he had everything. The title of this little passage in the scriptures is called The Rich Young Ruler. The man who had everything, but lacked. The man who had all that the world had to offer in regards to wealth and refinery and all of that comes with it. And yet Jesus says, you lack something. He hadn't only got riches, but he had religion, which is a dangerous mixture. He was looking for something, so he knew he lacked something because he came to Jesus looking. How do I get eternal life? All of my riches and all of my religiosity is not going to get me that. He knew. He was aware of it. He was like, so Jesus tests his temperature of his religiosity. He says, keep the commandments. Do not do this. He goes, I've done that all of my life. Jesus is not so much interested in our religious activity as he is the treasures of our hearts. And Jesus went straight for the treasure. See all the money I have, give to the poor. He's like, hang on, Jesus. You can have my heart. Or you can have my, whatever, my religion, you can have this. But don't start talking about the treasures of my heart, because I keep them for myself. But you know what he missed out on? Jesus says, give that away and now heaven's treasures are accessible to you. He missed it. Listen to what he said. He says, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasures in heaven. Not treasures in heaven when we just get there. But you will have access to the storehouses of heaven when you give me your everything. You will have access to the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the bounty, the provision, the vision of heaven. And because he was so earthbound, he was holding on to the things of this world, and holding on to the things of this world will cause us to miss the things that the Lord wants to give you and me from his world that will impact this world. Because of money does impact. Don't get me wrong, but it can't get you eternal life. And Jesus was saying to him, let go of that so I can give you something that is more, much more than monetary things. And I believe this, that if he was saying, Jesus, you can have everything, I believe Jesus would have said, I have found a man that I can trust with money. I believe Jesus would have said, do you think that money you have is good? Because I know you won't hold that. Well, then I'm going to give you more because you'll release it when I tell you to release it. Some of the blessings not in our life because there's a hold up. Oh, why am I not getting encouraged? Well, do you ever give encouragement? There's a blockage. So can you let that go? And God says, I can release. Don't get caught up in your own things. Don't hold on to your own things. Because all you're doing is blocking up. But he'd say to you and me, maybe we haven't got a huge amount of monies. But Jesus may say, you're rich with words. You're rich with hugs. Give them away. Give it to the poor so that I can now release heaven's treasures into your bank accounts. Or maybe we have. It might be riches. But I want to tell you that if you're living in Ireland, you're probably in the top 6% richest people in the world. Even you that is on the dole. Or even you that is on minimum wage. If you look at the amount of wages that comes into people's lives in the world, you and I are in the top 6%. Is that right, honey? Look it up. So we might think, well, I haven't got much, but I mean, that's what Jesus is after. I want you to release that so I can release heaven's riches into you. And he held everything. And you know what happened when he held everything? He went away sad. That's what it says. He was a self-made man. And self-made people worships their creator. Self-made people worship their creator. If you're self-made, you worship self. Self-made people worship their creator. And this man went away sad. Why? Because he held on. Holding on to the things of our heart, even our pains. Even our history. Jesus says, you know, you lack one thing. I see your great service. I see your great serving other people. But I want that. You lack one thing. You lack healing. You lack knowing the forgiveness of God. You lack knowing how loved you are. And you can do all that to keep busy, but God is after our hearts. The treasures. And not only the treasures, but the muck and the junk of our hearts. He wants to get into the mess of who we are so he can make us who he wants us to be. And then you have the total opposite. Listen to this. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. I know what that's like. I look up to all my friends. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, come down here immediately. I must stay in your house. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. Jesus didn't ask him. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, talking about himself, came to seek and save that which was lost. My goodness, what an incredible contrast to the rich young ruler. He was rich. He was short. He was a blackguard. He was a chief tax collector. He was a cheater. He wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. So he went up the sycamore tree so that when Jesus was coming his way, that he would be able to see Jesus. See, a tax collector was the worst person to be around because the Romans was taking tax off of the Jewish people, and Zacchaeus was a Jewish person working for the Romans, taking the tax. Not for the temple, not for the priests to be able to live, but taking the tax to give to the Romans. So they weren't just tax collectors, they were doubly hated because of who they were working for. And Zacchaeus was a cheat. So he cheated people. He maybe put more pressure on, maybe took widows' money when they shouldn't have. Because he says, I'll give back whoever I cheated. That means I've cheated. And so his life wasn't going well for him. And he had everything the rich young ruler had. And he wanted a glimpse of Jesus. And here's just some of the things that happened out of this impact. It impacted him that Jesus knew his name. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come on down. Jesus knows your name. I love that song that we sang. He knows, God is the creator. The song is telling us he put the snow in the houses of the heavens. He put the stars and he knows the stars by name. Da, 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 da. And then it says that he knows you and me and he knows the depths of our heart and he loves us the same. It's great to be known. And so we go, Lord, you know all the good things. No, he knows all the bad things. He knows what we present to people and what we hide from people. He knows their name. He knows your name. Do you know what one of the greatest things you can ever do if you meet someone for the first time, the next time you meet them, you remember their name, isn't it? Oh my goodness, they remember my name. It's important because our name is attached up in our identity, who we are, what we do as a people. So it's like, there's Noel. And it's not only N-O-E-L, but there's a whole personality, person behind that name. You go, there's Noel, he's a little Bew. Or he's a little Boo. It's going to be, you know, it's like, whatever it is, like we attach it. It's not only a name. Like, you know, in Ireland, we're best. You go, you know, Stephen, like, with the grey hair. It's like, we always attach something in Ireland. It's like, you know, Simon with the beard. And not only did he know his name, he knew where he lived. He says, we're going to your house. He says, I'm going to your house. I know your name, I know where you live. And you know what, Zacchaeus? I want to spend time with you. And that's still the offer. It might be Zacchaeus on that name, might be Mary or Johnny or whoever. He's like, I know you, who you are, and I want to spend time with you. Revelation 3, Jesus says this, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open up, I'll come in. And I'll sup with you, I'll have fellowship with you. It's still the same, the living Jesus, the one who raised from the dead, is knocking at the doors of people's lives and says, Noel, I want to spend time with you. Well, you know my name, Lord. Yeah, and I know where you live. And I still decide to spend time with you. And it's still the same. He also knew what we've accumulated in this life. He knows that. He knows the accumulation of riches. He knows the accumulation of hurt that we have. He knows the accumulation of hurts that we've caused. He knows everything about us. He knows our parents. He knows what we've accumulated in their life. He knows what we've accumulated in their ministry. He knows what we've accumulated. He knows what we're holding on to. And the impact that he had on Zacchaeus says, "Oh, give it all away, Jesus." Such was the impact of him. He says, and he started with the treasures of his heart. This is what Jesus said. Wherever your finances is, your treasures, that's where your heart will be. And this young rich young ruler, he says, I can't give away that treasure, Jesus. And for Zacchaeus, it was the opposite. He goes, what me treasure means nothing to me. It means nothing to me compared to the encounter that I'm after having with you. That you know my name, you know where I live, you know where I'm up to, you want to spend time with me. And everyone else was muttering, look at Jesus going to your man's house. On his opinions. Have you ever been jealous of someone else's blessing? Oh, you have. What's God blessing him for? I work hard. Seems to do nothing but climb trees and takes money off people and is a little blackguard, and Jesus comes into his life and blesses him. Just being honest, I'm like that. You just deal with your jealousy. That's all. So no, I'm not going to be jealous. I want to bless. I want to see him with us because we're a body, remember? If my eyes are perfect, well then my whole body benefits. If I don't have a limp or I don't have a pain in my leg, my whole body benefits. If this is healthy, my heart is healthy, my whole body benefits. If someone is blessed, we all benefit. If someone becomes multi-millionaire, we all benefit. If someone comes into a ministry of healing people's hearts, we all benefit. And they all muttered. And anyway, that didn't determine. But here was Zacchaeus' response. Jesus, I'll give it all away. I'll give it all away, Jesus. I'm going to give to the poor. It's amazing how the poor always comes into it. Jesus says to the rich young ruler, give to the poor. Do you know why? Your name's not going to be in light when you give to the poor. Most times the poor are taken, they don't even say thanks. So he was like saying, no, there's nothing there for you. Just be obedient that I want you to give. And he didn't even have to say that to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus says, I'll give half away to the poor. And the rest of it, if I cheated anyone, I'll give them back four times up than whatever I took on them. So I'll give away. I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my life. I'll give you my timetable. I'll give you my calling. I'll give you my unforgiveness. I'll give you my purse, my treasure, my talents, my gifts, my past, my future. I'll give it all to you, Jesus. I give it all to you. I give it. You tell me what to do, Jesus. You tell me where to go, Jesus. I'm yours. I'm yours. And sometimes we present the gospel, and this is all true of the gospel, but we present the gospel, come to Jesus, and you get A, B, C, and D. What I want to say this morning, we'll come to Jesus this morning, and you give away A, B, C, and D. And we go, Jesus, you take it. You take my pain, you take my addiction, you take my brokenness, you take my future, you take my gifts, you take my talents, I give it away to you, and you place me where you want me to be. I'm telling you, that's the way to enter into this thing with God. That's the way to enter the future with God. I give myself away to you, because if not, I'm going to become a self-made man, and I'm going to just end up worshipping me. Where I want, where I want to go, where I want to do. We're just coming like the world. We just allow the world to infiltrate or our own natural instincts to look after number one, to dictate our future. Jesus says, if you want to find your life, lose it. So get lost. Yes. Get lost. I give it away, Jesus. I give my shyness away. I give my inferiority away so that I can exist. The storehouse of heaven that will make me more like you. And that's what he has for us. We can either be a Zacchaeus or we can be a rich young ruler. One's going to walk away sad. He didn't walk away sad, by the way. Zacchaeus, they had a hooly. That's what happened. They had a big hooly, a big dance-off something. Invited other sinners in. When I tell you about this man that will come and know your name. And not only will he know your name, but he knows where you live, he knows what you've done, he loves you the same. We should put that in words of a song, actually. And not only that, when you meet him, you want to give something away. When I met Jesus, finishing with this, 2 minutes, 47 seconds left. I was addicted to being stoned. I was addicted to being stoned. I didn't want to live in this world. I didn't want to kill myself, Ratton. I just didn't want to be here, so I decided to stay high 24, well, how many hours I was awake. And whenever I wasn't stoned, there were people dying around me everywhere. People dying, brothers, friends I went to school with. So I was like, I'm not staying in this, so I just stayed somewhere else. Yeah, lived in my own world. You live in your own world, you become selfish because it's your own world. So I built a little empire of selfishness. And I met Jesus. And I gave it all away. I had nothing to give him other than brokenness. Nothing. I was 22 years of age. I remember the prayer I said after the man said, repeat this prayer after me. I said, Jesus, take this broken life. I was 22 and I felt like I was 82. With the weight of the world on my shoulders. I didn't have treasure like these then. Well, physical treasure. I says, but Jesus, I'll give you this. I gave it to him. 22nd of March, never touched another drug in my life. 27 years later. I was living in sin. That's what we called in the good old days, having sex outside of marriage. And I woke up. I says, this is not right, Jesus. And I gave her away. Slept in a single bed for 9 months till this lady trusted me enough to marry me. To prove myself, I was worth marrying. And ripping off the job, gave her away. And what I received in return was life. Eternal life won. But Jesus says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you may know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Eternal life has not happened somewhere else. Eternal life begins when you give your life to God. Boom, eternity kicked in. Eternal life kicked in. Hope, future kicked in. All of a sudden, every little thing that was in me, that was robbing me, where I lacked, was like being met by the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. And it doesn't stop. 27 years later, I'm more hungry for Jesus now than I've ever been. Because I know how much I need him. As you get older, you recognize you need more. And you might say, well, Lord, what have I got to give you? And everything that is you. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open up, I'll come in. And I know for me that Jesus said just recently, no, I want to go into the messy rooms. The rooms that you hide away. You know when you bring someone into your house, you bring them into the sitting room. Don't bring them into your teenager's room, believe me. Make a show of us. You get out the best china. There you go, Jesus. And Jesus goes, hey, what's upstairs? Oh, you don't want to go up there. You don't want to go into that room marked unforgiveness or bitterness or brokenness. But Jesus, I keep the silver, family silver in there. You don't want to, we're not touching the family silver. Jesus knocks at that door and says, let me into that. Let me into your finances. Let me into your brokenness. Let me in to bring in. And he says, if we open up, he comes in. And the stuff on the wall that we're ashamed of, he goes, yeah, I'll help you take them down. I'm going to bring heaven's colour to this place. I want to tell you, Jesus is the greatest interior designer you'll ever meet. An exterior designer, just look at the world. But he won't kick the door in. He won't bar it in. That's why he says to the rich young ruler, you make a choice what you're going to do with this. But when Zacchaeus encountered Jesus, he was like, this is the right choice. And I want us to have that afresh. So let's pray. And if the worship team could come back. We sing that I need you. Can we stand? And you may have never, ever, ever, ever have asked Jesus to come into your life. And you might be visiting for the first day and wondering what this is all about and whatever. I'm telling you, it's, the least thing it's about is church and religion. What it's about is a person called Jesus. And so if we could just close our eyes for one moment. And if Jesus says to you today, because he does, believe me, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to be like the rich young ruler, or are you going to be like little Zacchaeus?
He speaks your name. He says, I know where you live. I want to just spend time with you. I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. What an invitation. It's not to join the club. It's not to join the gang. It's not to join any particular church. That's what the rich young ruler got caught up with, the do's and the don'ts. And Zacchaeus got caught up with the person, and the personality, and the majesty, and the beauty of who Jesus is as a person. So you can have commandments and be religious, or you can meet the commander in chief. So what would you do today? Would you just open up to him? Say, Jesus, you can come to my house. It's called, for me, it's called Noel Kenny. You can come to this house. Come on in. Bring your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy and your majesty. I want to know the King who created the universe. And I give it all away. I'll give it to you, Jesus. Just start speaking to him. Give him it. Like Samantha, give him your anxiety attacks. I was so encouraged. You know, I told you this many times. 18 months I struggled with panic attacks. 18 months flapping around my bed like kipper out of water. I kid you not. I forgot who my father was. I forgot he could do anything. And when I started recognizing that again, the anxiety levels were gone. I haven't had one in 3 years. Name's unknown, but a man whose son was murdered came to me. I want to forgive that man. Only meeting Jesus can bring that into your life, believe me. There's nothing that you can't do. Just open the door up. That's what my brother done. He opened the door up. That's what Samantha done. No, the Bible says, do not be anxious for anything. I opened the door up. And he was in like a light. He doesn't hang about. He doesn't him and haw. He doesn't go, oh, that room is not tidy. He doesn't do that. He's like in like Flynn. So will you open up? As my brother said about his son, he said, I've grieved for too long. 26 years of grieving. Let me into our grief. Let me into our successes. Let me into our failures. Let me into our calling. And the reason he goes into the messy room, because you know what? There's treasure in that room as well. Whatever has been buried down, whatever's been put on you, Jesus wants to just come in and go, yep, get that up out of the way, because that's where I've been looking for. There's a treasure, there's a jewel, there's a call, there's a gift, there's a destiny. Underneath all of that mess, and I've come in to make that mess into a message. And I'll take you with your mess and make it a message and send you as a messenger to other people that are in a mess. That's the way it works. So will you open up? Will you let this song be your prayer? Will you let this song be your absolute prayer? I need you, Jesus, and you name that area. Go ahead, son.